Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy, Cosmic Love, for Saturday, September 5th, 2015. It's my great pleasure to have Philip Hogue on the show tonight. Those who read the intro on the BBS Radio homepage or the Cosmic Love homepage got a sense of who Philip is. I'm going to bring him right in. Philip, you there?
I am here.
Philip, it's good to have you on. I've known you. I was just thinking about it. You know, I think the first time I met you was when you came to my health food store back in Ohio back about 1980. That would have been 35 years ago.
Long time.
Long time. And I've known you here in the Valley, Paradise Valley, Montana, where I live also, probably 25 years now. And I was thinking about, you know, what you've developed here in the Valley. I remember when I first came here, you had developed already the Paradise Valley Volunteer Fire Department. I served on that for a while. And then later you developed the Paradise Valley Emergency Medical Services as an MT. That would be yourself. I was just the driver there for a while in the ambulance. And I've thought about what you've done since then, and your notoriety getting on Art Bell. How many times were you on Art Bell?
Oh, George Norrie, Art Bell, and I forget the other guy's name. I've probably been on coast to coast at least seven times.
Seven times? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot of notoriety for your book. Very popular. I know there was a cycle when you were moving a lot of those, No Such Thing as Doomsday. Now, when did you come out with that?
As I recall, that was in about 1984, somewhere in there, that I started, published the first editions of the book. And, yeah.
You went through several editions of it?
Yes, yes.
And you were, of course, that's largely why you were on the show. It's quite a volume. I've got a copy of it somewhere, and it got me tuned into a lot of the preparedness stuff in the book. So you've had a lot of experience with that. How'd you get into doing the food reserves?
Well, I've been kind of involved in preparedness for years, and then we got into actually selling preparedness products, and then as we got closer to, well, and then we did some large preparedness projects, civil defense projects, and we ended up buying truckloads of food and doing a lot of canning and bucketing of food and whatnot, but we got, after that, we got into selling preparedness products and food. And then, of course, when we got close to Y2K, you know, I was wholesaling products from Walton's Feed and Alpenair and Safe Trek. And then all those guys, you know, they would say, well, it looks like we won't be able to ship your order for 3 or 4 months. And so yeah. I had to decide whether I was going to quit selling long-term food storage, or I was going to go into the business. And so I made the mistake of going into the business.
Well, right before Y2K went bust.
No, yeah, we had a couple of good years there, and we had 10,000 square foot building and 12 employees and 2 forklifts, and you know we were doing couple semi loads of product a week, but
wow.
You know, once Y2K was over, once the year 2000 happened, you couldn't give it away for several years.
Yeah, I remember that. I was, you know, working with Safe Trek Outfitters back then, doing the long term food reserves, and
right, they were the other ones, Safe Trek, right?
Yeah,
yeah, they were the ones that were doing the huge volume.
So you've been, I know you've over the years, you've jumped back in different times and helped other companies with their production and the setup, the food reserves, and so you've been a consultant in the industry. And of course, you know, I realize you consult with a lot of people, not just with civil defense shelters, but also power systems, diesel engine power systems. You've done that for a while.
And, I used to sell cogeneration systems. For those that don't know what that is, that's where you set up a natural gas reciprocating engine, a large engine that runs on natural gas, and it's hooked to a generator end, and it produces electrical power for an installation, be it a hospital, a hotel, a factory. But not only does it produce power, but you recover all the waste heat from the engine. In other words, all the heat that typically in your car gets removed through the radiator. Instead of having radiators on these engines, we'd have heat exchangers, and we'd recover all that waste heat, and we'd use it. So the waste heat represents the inefficiency of the engine. So if we had somebody like a hospital that was making all sorts of steam and hot water where they needed it, and they had these big gas boilers to make it, that we'd put in one of these generators with heat recovery, and we would reduce their cost not only for power, because we could make it cheaper, generally speaking, on site, but also we would reduce their hot water and steam costs, because we'd be giving them this waste heat for free. So I did that for quite a while in Northern and Southern California. But then that's how I got into large power systems. And I kind
so
of.
My experience is you're a really practical, hands-on, down-to-earth guy who's got the kind of technical expertise that could engineer civil defense shelters and power systems. And I know you're technically expert, and your book goes into the technical aspects of ventilation systems for civil defense shelters, all kinds of aspects of, you know, mechanical engineering and how
radiation,
the medical emergency medical supplies and all kinds of practical stuff needed, you know, in a time of crisis. And I thought it'd be a good time to have you on the show. I don't know if we're on the cusp of something big latter part of September, October, with the economy, with energy frequency shift, which is something I talk about a lot, in my articles that I post on my blog, weblog. And for those who've, have followed the weblog, I actually just sent another piece out on it for those who are on my list. And, of course, anyone listening can just contact me, and I'll put you on my list if you're interested. But I just sent a piece out regarding this whole thing with the U.N. Did you get that? I just sent that out actually about a half hour ago.
No, I didn't.
And that's the big thing. You know, with the Pope is coming in here the 23rd of September and meeting with Obama the next day, the Pope is speaking to the UN General Assembly, and he's also going to be meeting with and talking with, world leaders. The Chinese president's going to be there. Russian President Putin is going to be there. And it's going to be a big powwow of the power elite, in New York. And there's a lot of question about what's really the agenda or the intent, that something big is going on globally with, trying to, mitigate or otherwise deal with what's being called economic reset. And we get some of that in the mainstream media, what's going on, with the economic change. And I'm sure you follow that and talk with different people who call you in whose concern is about the economy and wonder about, come from that perspective. There's no, I had Dennis Korn on my show 2 weeks ago, and he's Gourmet Reserves. And I, of course, I've worked with Dennis for a long time also, and I like talking with him because he's got his finger on the pulse also of the industry. And I was kind of amazed talking with him about, at this point, you know, there is, it's just like, not that it's extremely quiet, but it's relatively quiet, and he was saying that there's a lot of food reserves with a lot of companies that are quality food reserves, but a lot of the cheap stuff is getting marketed on these big radio talk shows, you know, like Coast to Coast and some of these other companies, and they sell these packages that, you know, with that sound really great, but it's really kind of lowest common denominator in price and quality, you know, selling on price rather than quality. And so Dennis was telling me there's just a lot of quality foods, you know, the higher end foods that are really, you know, non-GMO and, you know, seasoned with the herbs and, you know, natural ingredients, whereas a lot of the foods being sold is just bulk beans and rice.
Well, worse than that, beans and rice and TDP, which is a soy-based, and TDP, people need to watch out for it. It's they call it texturized vegetable protein, but there's no vegetable in it. It's all soy. And soy has estrogen-mimicking compounds in it. And, you know, there's reasonable research which shows that the exponential explosion of gender confusion in young boys parallels the use of the advent of soy-based baby formulas. So,
I've read a lot about that too. Yeah,
and not only that, but these beef flavored, chicken flavored, barbecue flavored, bacon flavored. Not only are they soy based, but they're socked full of artificial flavors and whatnot and chemicals
to make them palatable.
Yeah, you know. So the thing is a lot of these companies are using this as a cheap source of protein. Instead of using real freeze-dried beef or chicken, you know, they're using the soy crap, and most of the consumers don't know the difference, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, the main thing, if anybody's interested in food, the thing that they need to look at is figure out the calories. Because, it's one thing if you're just buying cases of stuff. That's very simple and straightforward. You just need to figure out how many ounces they're putting in a can. That's another thing. A lot of people are selling you a can of stuff that's only half full. Make sure, number one, it's a good quality product. Number two, compare how many ounces different people are putting in the can. All right? So, and then, because even though somebody might have a can that's cheaper than somebody else, the can might not be full.
Yeah.
And then, if you're looking at packages, in other words, you can go into our website or all sorts of people and you can buy cases of this, cases of that. That's one thing. But a lot of people want pre-made packages. They want a six-month package. They want a one-year package. The main thing you've got to look at there is, one, make sure that you've got a high-calorie content. All right?
Per day,
all right? Like ours have like 2,500 to 3,000 calories a day per person, all right? But number two, make sure you have quality calories. You got to have quality calories. In other words, not just all white sugar. Like in our packages, we put extra virgin olive oil, we put real Montana honey, we put real beef, chicken, we put red feather canned butter, we do Vega canned cheese. We basically design packages that we'd be willing to feed our own families or eat ourselves, all right?
Yeah.
But they cost more, but you get what you pay for. So, I don't know, if I'm going to be in the food business, I've got to be doing something I feel good about. Otherwise, I just soon get out of the business.
Yeah. Dennis was the same way. He was saying that a lot of people you know, it's even, and he says a lot of over the years, some of the biggest markets have been those religions, I think it's specifically the Mormons who, you know, require ideally, you know, 2 years of food preparedness, you know, because these are the latter days, so to speak, and that a lot of he's known a lot of the Mormons selling really low-grade stuff to their communities, but people will buy from them because they're Mormons, number one, and two is because they have prices that are real inexpensive, and Dennis was saying a lot of the Mormons will buy the food out of guilt that you know they don't have their 2 year food reserves, and it's a religious tenet basically.
Right.
they buy the food just so they can say they have it. You know, that they're good. The good Mormons, and some people, again, just like anything else, they'll buy things for the, you might say, the wrong reasons, out of emotion. You know, they buy an emotion rather than and belief. And again, you know, who do you trust? Well, if you're buying from a Mormon, you would think, you know, that you're going to be taken care of, but it's not always that way. And so the whole industry has, of course, always been fraught with schemers and scammers, and that's why I like yourself and Dennis, because I've known you both for many years and what you're doing, and I think it's a good standard to compare what you're doing to compare against other stuff that's, you know, in the markets or at Costco or wherever. You know, if people are serious about putting in some food reserves, you know, the considerations on the package, you know, range from, again, the quality per price per calorie, and also, over time, you know, if you, on the package deals, you really, there is the thing with food inflation, which is the number one inflation cost of household commodities. You know, food has been increasing faster than anything else. And I've looked at food reserve from back at the time of Y2K and the cost back then, and
right.
what a 4x4 was, and I mean, people that bought those packages back then, the price of food and food reserves and bulk food has, you know, has risen more than gold. You know, I mean, it's like I think it was like a more than an 8-fold or 16-fold increase. You know, when I figured it up, you know, the cost per calorie, you know, per day, and you know, you
right.
just take all the figures and crunch the numbers. And people that bought the packages back then, they were non-GMO. They were mostly non-GMO. Of course,
right.
now, with the TVP, which is almost all GMO soy, and a lot
right.
of the cheap stuff that's out there being, you know, sold as food reserves, it's like buyer beware. I mean, that's why it's good to have you on the show. A lot of people, I think, are looking at the signs of the times and are, you know, I mean, if
well,
they got their eyes wide
let
open.
Let me interject a few things. One, most people, in fact, I know some people very closely that specialize in scaring the crap out of people.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
their sales tactic.
I know. I know names. Who you're referring to, yeah.
Yeah, we won't mention any names, and that's not my style. You know, if I got to revert to that, I'll go do something else.
Yeah.
So, but I will say, common sense, folks, you know, the lubrication of society is currency. All right, the medium of exchange. If it gets screwed up, everything shuts down. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to shut down. I'm just saying, and I'll back up and I'll say one more thing. I learned a long time ago, then I'm terrible at reading crystal balls. All right,
oh, yeah.
I'm not a soothsayer, and I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. But practicality, read history, and just observe what's going around you. If you are observant, if you keep alert and aware, and you quit watching TV and getting programmed by the propaganda system run by the corporate interests in this country, which also run the government, then you can develop some reasonable perceptions. You should, anybody out there that watches TV every day should get rid of their TV. Just get rid of it. I mean, I haven't watched TV in over 40 years. I just do not. I mean, you know, you walk into a store and the TV's on, you watch it, or you're stuck in a motel room on a trip and, you know, you push the button and you watch TV for the first time in 6 months. But I do not watch TV. I don't get my information. It's like processed foods. Processed foods have got all sorts of artificial additives. It's factory food, all right? Well, you know, it's like eating at McDonald's or eating Chef Boyardee, Kraft Foods or whatnot. It's factory food. Well, the media is factory information, all right?
Yeah.
And so it's like your body's only as, a stone wall is only as good as the ingredients you use to build it. Your body's only as good as the stuff you allow into your system. And your judgment is only as good as the input of information you allow into your head. All right? So my first advice to people is quit watching TV. Just stop it. It's not doing you any good. So backing up the food, it's a practical thing that if we have some economic screw-up or some other crazy crap happens, war or whatnot, the distribution infrastructure is very tenuous, delicate. You know, it's computerized warehouse delivery now to supermarkets every day, so they only have 3 days' supply of food. They're all computerized. You go through the cash register, it automatically adjusts their inventory and prints out a report or electronically sends a report to the warehouse that night and tells them what needs to be on the truck for the next day's delivery. All right. So consequently, there is no substantial food reserves sitting in the major cities. All right. So if those 16-wheelers quit rolling for a week, or if all of a sudden commerce screeches to a halt because of bank failures, and, you know, then the whole system starts getting screwy. You know, there's no fuel, there's no food, you know, everything gets kind of crazy. So it's just common sense. You don't have to be doom and gloom or expecting the end of the world. It's like I tell people, I say, look, I said, would you, like I had this guy come up to me at a preparedness show one time, and he looked at my book and he goes, you know, he goes, you got a bad attitude. If you had positive mental attitude, you wouldn't need any of this stuff. So I thought about it for a minute. I said, well, let me ask you a question now. He says, okay. I said, do you drive a car? He goes, yeah, everybody drives a car. I said, do you have a spare tire in the trunk? He goes, yes, of course, everybody's got a spare tire in the trunk. I said, well, you got a bad attitude. I said, if you really believed in positive mental attitude, you wouldn't drive around a car with a spare tire in the trunk. And I said, look, we're living in an age where we got nuclear weapons. We got the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Due to our beloved government and our international banking commerce system, we got half the world that hates us.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that I've got a bad attitude because I don't want to have a little cushion or reserve, that I don't want to have a spare tire in my trunk. Because that's in essence what a long-term food storage program is. It's just a spare tire in the trunk because you don't know. You know, there's always nails ending up on the road. You know, you can't predict when you're going to get a flat tire. And I can't tell you, you know, what's going to happen in the future, but it's just common sense. When you really understand the system and you look at all the crazy things going on in the world, whether it's hurricanes, whether it's earthquakes, whether it's electromagnetic pulse, whether it's war, whether it's an economic collapse, I mean, there's a lot of potential, and life has its tides, you know, so it's a good idea to be reasonably prepared to have some sort of spare tire in the truck, especially if you've got other people that depend on you, a wife, kids, grandchildren. I mean, hello, folks. You know, basically, we got a society of sheep that are all programmed into the belief that the government is their God and will be there to take care of them if things go south. And you saw in Katrina that that did not work. There was nobody bailing out all those people that were down there. What was it, the Astrodome or wherever it was? You know, you know, where was the government? You know, where was FEMA? You know, they weren't there. They weren't there. They had other priorities. That was not, bailing out the poor people was not necessarily their primary interest, their primary mission, contrary. So what I'm going to say is, you know, when you're dependent, you lose your freedom. And what I'm saying is the government does have a level of preparedness, but it will come at a price.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to get in line like cattle. You're going to have to do things, maybe even give up guns and whatnot, in order to get a food ration ticket if things go south.
Yeah.
So if you appreciate your freedom, you need to have a certain level of self-reliance and be able to operate independently of government handouts. So, got one other thing. And, you know, you talk about the spiritual end of things. And this is my belief and experience. It's not a belief. It's my personal spiritual experience, is that I've always found that life brings us everything we need to do what we need to do if we're trying our best and we're alert and aware. Now, you can't always see where it's going to come from. Many times you've got to walk like a blind guy walking in the dark. You've got to move forward with faith. But if you just keep going forward with that faith, what you need materializes in unexpected ways. It may not be what you specifically wanted, but in the long run, it's always what you needed. And so I always try to hold on to that concept, and so far it's always proved me right. And I think in human psychology, there is always this fearful, a friend of mine calls it the monkey mind, right, where the mental aspect of the mind is always, it can't stay centered in the here and now. It's always revolving scenarios. And the problem with that is we have creative power in our attention. Whatever we focus our attention on, we give life to. We make it a self-fulfilling reality. And, I mean, that's a hard thing for some people to grasp onto, but
it's
probably
now
your best aspect of preparedness is getting control of the focus on your attention.
Being centered and connected. The analogy there is what's coming out with quantum reality, quantum science, that your attention on whatever, it's your attention that will determine the outcome of results. And you shift your attention, the results will change.
That's why beliefs are so powerful.
Yeah. And I always make the reference to pure intention focuses attention with love's retention for conscious ascension in a dimension where, you know, unity conscience rules.
Whatever that means.
In other words, I have a lot of fun playing with that. But it goes back to, you know, where you put your attention and how you focus that attention will determine, you know, the outcome. And
right. Absolutely.
And
have expectations, different levels of expectations, and as a result, they have different life experiences. It's a belief. Beliefs is something we focus attention on. This concept of whether it's self-image or belief or whatever you want to call it, it is the key to what we experience in life.
Well, one thing for sure, and I use the same experience, you know, where you put your attention is where your God is, what you worship with your attention. And if you watch in the boob tube, they're definitely not going to be waking people up to potential crisis or any kind of danger, imminent danger that would require anything other than, trust in, the currency, the economy, the government, and that all is well, until it's not, until it's too late. and it's one thing about watching the boob tube. I mean, it's like anyone that comes out, talking about real perils, they're considered terrorists. They're put it in the category of nutcases and someone that's provoking panic and terror. And I mean, there is a point where, and it is true that if people are believing something horrible is going to happen, they can put energy into the matrix, I call it, or, in the etheric field. And it's like, people that
they can materialize it just by broadcasting it.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like a self, because, again, where you put your attention, that's what you get. And it reminds me of the guy, I remember this one guy back in Ohio, he really got into horror films. He was going to them all the time. And then all of a sudden, things got, he was so much into horror, he thought it was fun and entertaining, but shadows started moving on him. his worst fears started coming upon him. And this is something that this is my own personal BS belief system, is that that something is going on with the frequency shift. I've been reading about this from multiple perspectives, different scientific experts, just quantum scientists and people that have researched this with the energy shift of and the Schumann resonance of the Earth and how the frequency, the consciousness of our brain waves reflex with or resonate with the Schumann resonance of the Earth, and how this is increasing through September and peaking in through the end of September.
I have no doubt. But, I mean, I think that we've seen this over the years, that there's increased awareness. I mean, there's also increased, it seems like they run parallel. Things get worse in the world, but yet at the same time, there's an increasing awareness.
Mm-hmm. An opportunity.
Right, but I also, my experience in life has shown me that when people get way out of whack, there is an intelligence, there is some form of coordinating, there is coordinating intelligence in the universe, all right?
Yeah.
And when people get out of whack, when societies get out of whack, that sooner or later life hits them over the head with a 2x4.
Yeah.
It's an act of love. I mean, they get whacked. They get whacked. It's like, whoa, slow down. But it doesn't happen right away. It's a rubber band effect. And I mean, you look at this country, and it's crazier than the fruitcake, the stuff that's going on, and how people are like sheep. And like, for instance, the Planned Parenthood thing.
Oh, yeah. The thing of selling body parts.
Women's rights. Women's abuse. And I've said for years, in Nazi Germany, at least when they were killing Jews, the Jews had a chance to pick up a stone and throw it at them. Murdering babies, they're totally innocent and totally defenseless. Talk about the worst crimes against humanity.
Yeah,
I'm not getting into religion here.
But doing it for profit. I mean, when I say
right,
for profit,
I mean it's deviant degeneracy. It's like they're trying to normalize deviance. And I'm not being judgmental, and I'm not being religious. I'm just saying, wake up, folks. You know, we're going to evolve to the point, well, you know, if you kill babies, why can't I walk over and shoot you?
Yeah.
I feel that way, and it's my right to blow you away because it makes me feel good, or just downright filthy murder.
Yeah, and
I don't want to get off on this too far, and I'm not trying to run, you know, but the point is you saw the crazy stuff that's gone on in other cultures, and there's a cause and effect sequence, there's a rubber band effect, you know, and so it's good to really have some sort of spare tire in your trunk.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I can't tell you what's going to happen, and I'm not a soothsayer, and I'm not trying to paint pictures of gloom and doom that you're going to focus on and make a self-fulfilling reality. I say focus on the desired outcome, what you want, not what you don't want.
Yeah.
All right? But at the same time, be practical and have a spare tire in your trunk.
Yeah. Well, it's to be able to stand back and with like a third person objective as an objective observer, looking at what's going on in the world, you know, can be depressing. And a lot of people get, when I say, I mean, do they get the kind of depressed that they just don't want to go there? They don't want to even.
I agree. It's the threat. You know, a lot of times you try and talk to people and they can't hear it because humans have a herd psychology.
Yeah.
Humans, and it's hard for humans to see human herd psychology, but humans have a tremendous need for a sense of security. And so when you start telling somebody that's been programmed, and giving them, telling them about things that are not right, or giving them evidence of things that conflict with their media programmed concepts, it undermines their sense of security, and they can't deal with it. They can't deal with it. And it's very interesting for anybody who can go on the internet, and this is my favorite document. I tell people, you got to read this thing. Is a report from Iron Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to read that document. Once you read that document, you understand everything that's going on. These guys understand herd psychology, human herd psychology, and they know how to play it like a piano. And everything that happens, most everything that happens, doesn't happen by accident. It's planned. You know, you got Rand Corporation and all these big think tanks dreaming up these 1,000-page Obamacare and Patriot Act things. These things have just been sitting on the shelf waiting for the right opportunity to push them in. And, you know.
it's hard to break through the comfort zone.
Right.
And that
sense of security. People need that.
That sense of security, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you start messing with that comfort zone, and they can't handle it. It's the ostrich mentality. They got to stick their head in the ground. It just makes them feel uncomfortable. And you know. Anyhow, it's
yeah. Well, one thing that's different is, of course, the internet has made it possible for people that really think for themselves and really know how to search and find. You know, search what they find whatever they really want to know about stuff. They start finding out real quick if they're really serious about it and open-minded and not afraid of what anyone might think, you know, because they're just wanting to think for themselves, you know. And
if they can get beyond the rubber stamp called conspiracy theories.
Yeah, if they can get past that. And, again, the normalcy bias is so strong with so many people that what's, so to speak, abnormal and not seen on the boob tube, which is normal for a lot of people. You know,
right.
that it's just well, if people really think that if something is true, then they'll see it on TV.
Right.
You know,
or it'll be in the newspaper.
There will be in the newspaper. They're, you know, it's like they're already pretty much gone. They're not going to be using the internet to search the real truth because it won't fit with what they've got. You know, if their mind's made up, you know, you can't confuse them with facts. You know, kind of a thing. And so there is a lot of people. I think this is part of the frequency shift, the consciousness shift to higher frequencies. You know, the higher alpha wave frequencies of the brain that, you know, apparently is. And again, we don't know what that's if that is true, and if it's going to happen into the end of September, we don't know what it's going to look like because we'll be seeing things differently. Everyone will. I mean, if the brain waves of humans on Earth are going to be going to a higher level, you know, and until you're there, until you're experiencing it and you're seeing things differently, it's just, of course, all speculation anyway. And if it does happen, you know, I've kind of gone through the psychology of what happens when, you know, brain waves shift to the higher alpha wave frequencies. They become more, you know, the science of it is that they become more heart coherent. They become more coherent with the frequencies of the right brain, right hemisphere, which is more, you know, right brain dominance, which is more heart coherent rather than left brain linear, logical, you know, letter of the law. It's more the spirit of the law. And I would love to think, you know, that the great cosmic intelligence, God or whatever, you know, is going to basically be changing with cosmic gamma rays through the end of the month, you know, the frequency of intelligence and consciousness on the planet. But that'll also stir the pot for those who are stuck in their left brain. I mean, in other words, we don't know what all this, and it's kind of, you know, speculation, and I've gone into this with different analogies of what this could be like. If the veil really is thinning, you know, the veil of the ego, you might say, and the left brain linear logic of, or, you know, mindset, if that's going to be changing and going more nonlinear through the end of the month, you know, my read on that is that, and other experts that have talked about this have referenced the nonlinear consciousness is kind of like when people take LSD, mescaline, or psilocybin, or marijuana, and when they go nonlinear, they synaptically, you know, the brain, so to speak, expands, but they can space out at the same time because they don't have the same brain energy in the circuits, you know, that were there before because new circuits are opening. And,
well, I think you need to get out of the brain, and that's part of the problem.
Well, it's the consciousness that I'm referring to.
Consciousness is not limited to the brain.
That's true, but brain waves and the consciousness, how that could be shifting, if that's true.
Well, I'm not saying that consciousness is shifting, but I'm saying you need to be careful not to get tied up in the mind.
In the mind, yeah.
My personal experience is that's your greatest enemy, and you need to focus on the heart. And
yeah,
it's, you know, you need to have faith in a spiritual core, your soul or whatever you want to call it. And when the mind starts running off, you have to reject the mind, because the mind, the monkey mind, is always running off over thinking, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. So I have to do this. You have to get into a non-reactive mode and have faith in this fiery core within your heart, which is really God. It's the soul. We're all an aspect. We're all a facet of a greater whole. And it's the deathless, timeless, spaceless aspect of ourselves. And that is the higher frequency. You got to get out of the mind. You got to get into consciousness, into that timeless, spaceless aspect of consciousness. Have faith in it, and not be reactive. Reactive is the greatest detriment to all of us. It's the major thing that we all have to get over. We think that we have to make justice. We got to do this. We got to do that. This is going to happen. This person did this to me. you know, I got to take care of it. I got to make justice. I got to do this. You just have to have more faith in the power that's within you, and it's something that you have to take in small steps and learn for yourself and start doing it and have faith that you don't have to do everything, that there is a greater power out there that you are part of. If you just refuse to react to the mind and all of its jabbering and, you know, compulsive suggestions that you have to do this, you have to do that. So, anyhow, some people are not going to be able to relate to that at all.
Yeah, you know? And being proactive rather than reactive, the idea of preventing or preparing in a proactive way for security, rather than waiting till there's a crisis, like, you know, waiting till you're sick before you build your health.
Right.
In other words, it's all backwards. It's like, you know, the idea that you can never take care of your body and then just go to a doctor for a drug that suppresses the symptoms when you get sick. It's all backwards. And yet so much of our society now has got, you know, there's this backwards thinking. There's so much stuff that's just asked backwards, you know, that's going on in institutions and in the media and the cognitive dissonance. I mean, the contradictions. It's almost back to that same the depressing things you see on TV that are taken as normal or
right.
Dehumanizing influences.
Degeneracy.
The
normalization of degeneracy.
And I don't think it's sustainable. Something's going to change. I think things are changing in spite of ourselves.
We are living in a unsustainable system. The economics of the United States and the Federal Reserve is like a teenage kid with a pocket full of credit cards that does not have a job. We don't have a gross national product. The whole commerce system and currency system is full of fraud, deception, and lack of full disclosure.
I just sent you about an hour ago. What's going on with and the article before that, you know, you might remember that about the currency reserve status of the United States, how the U.S. manufacturing has moved to China, state-of-the-arts manufacturing, and they're very advanced in things that they're doing. I mean, they're parading stuff, it's becoming very overt that nations worldwide are with the BRICS nations and the New Asian Investment Bank, the currencies of global markets are increasingly using the yuan, and there's kind of a currency crisis or war going on with the U.S. dollar, and it's just on the brink right now. I mean, it's just, and because of that, there's wars on the brink, because, you know, always historically, nations go to war when their economies are going, and so it's like, I mean, we're at a razor's edge, and I'm looking at in through the end of the month, there's going to be there's also this frequency shift that's going that I think it's well documented that's going on. It's not being reported in the media. I think it's the biggest news that's not reported, you know, is what's going on with the Schumann resonance of the earth and how that affects consciousness. It's an interesting time, to say the least.
It is. There's no question. So what do we do? This is the next question.
Please let us know.
Well, for getting down to the practical aspect that pays the bills, can I give out our website?
Please do. Yeah, I wanted to. You have this a company called Adventure Foods.
AdventureFoodCompany.com.
.com.
AdventureFoodCompany.com.
And Philip One thing that distinguishes, I think, your company from all the other companies, it's the most customizable company I've found for people that have gluten intolerance, food allergies, sensitivities, or just looking for the highest quality food, you know, for health.
Right.
I mean, I continue to look. I've been in that industry, and it's like holistic health stuff. I'm always looking what's best out there for health. Oh, I wanted to add also that, and this is like full disclosure. I've been representing your package, as well as Dennis Korn's package also, for some time because they're different. You know, they're different.
Right.
You've got more selectivity with the customizable, you know, thing for people that have specific food needs, and you have, you know, there's pluses and minuses. But I've been throwing in, and for those who are listening, with your what is it, your 2 years for two people package, I've got the website that references. And if anyone's going to just call you direct, and I want you to give your phone number too here in a minute.
Sure. Okay.
That I'm throwing in $1,000 of the prescriptasis of the pollen extract, for the increase, the prescriptasis is the probiotic, the soil-based organisms that improve the digestion, because it's not what you eat.
Good idea.
And the pollen extract is supports the immune system. It's an adaptogen for stress. So if there's a lot of stress with whatever's going on, you probably won't be using the food, you know, and there is stress. It feeds the endocrine system like no other full-spectrum micronutrient. I mean, it's royal jelly, virtually, you know,
right.
Nutraceutical-grade
right.
Royal jelly for supporting the glands and the immune system, which regulates everything in the body, you know, and it's micronutrient rocket fuel, you know, for the immune system. And so the two of them together work synergistically or symbiotically. You know, they work together better than separately. And so I'm throwing about $1,000 in on that package. And on that, you have a package half that size, and I'll do $500 on that package also. You have about a $4,000 package as well as an $8,000 package. So I'll go halvesies on that. Larger one, I'll go $1,000 and $500 on the smaller one. So your phone number, if anyone wants to contact you.
Okay, are you ready? Do you have your pen and paper? Okay, 406. The area code for Montana. So that's 406-223-1699. That's 406-223-1699.
And that's on your website. That's on your website.
Yeah, it's
too.
On our website. Yeah.
Okay. So people can contact
you
directly.
Yeah, email address and all that stuff off the website, and that's adventurefoodcompany.com.
Well, I'm grateful for you sharing this today. I think the timing is such that by God's grace, nothing's going to happen, but people that are looking for more information or looking to prepare, they can certainly contact you, ask you questions, and, hopefully... nothing will happen, but those who are thinking about whether for health or for security or for savings, because buying in bulk and with the price of food going up faster than any other commodities, you know, it's just a good way to put in reserves that, it's going to cost you less. This food gets more expensive in the future.
And let me make one last comment, and that the value of food and gold does not change. The reason the price goes up is because the value of the dollar, the buying power of the dollar, keeps going down. So,
Of course, if there's,
it's not that we keep charging more for the food. It's just the dollar is continually getting worth less.
Buys less, yep. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for being with us today, Philip. Thanks for everyone for listening. And until we meet again, keep the faith and see the good and make it so.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.